DiscerningHearts.com presents Fountains of Grace, Reflections on Contemporary Spiritual Classics with Donna Garrett. In this particular series of episodes, Donna discusses with Father Daniel Brandenburg, Interior Freedom by Father Jacques Philippe. It is said that despite the most difficult situations that can restrain our physical movement, each person has deep inside a place of freedom that no external power can take away, because God Himself is its source. A person wins inner freedom to the extent that he connects to its source, God Himself, by practicing the virtues of faith, hope, and charity. These theological virtues are the center of the spiritual life. As the basis for interior growth, they become the source of the glorious freedom of the children of God. Written in a simple and inviting style, Interior Freedom, written by Father Jacques Philippe, seeks to liberate the heart and mind to enable it to live the true freedom to which God calls each one. We now begin Fountains of Grace, Reflections of Contemporary Spiritual Classics with Donna Garrett.
Welcome, Father Philippe, to our interview today on Interior Freedom.
Thank you.
Would you like to share with us where you got the idea to write a book about developing interior freedom?
I think it's my experience with talking with people, listening to them. I realized that very often people feel a little prisoners because they have a situation they cannot choose, they cannot change. And so they have the feeling to not to be free because of the exterior situation in which they are living. And they have the feeling that it's not easy for them to grow. So I think it was important to help these people understand that even if situations we don't choose, we cannot change, we have always a possibility to grow in faith, in love, in being a more mature and on human point of view or spiritual point of view. So this was the idea, how to help people who don't feel free to realize they have a space of freedom that they can use, and they can grow in a true freedom. This is the idea.
You dedicate a significant portion of your book to the topic of acceptance, the acceptance of ourselves and of our own weaknesses, and also the acceptance of other people's influence in our lives. Why do you feel this is so important to achieving freedom?
It's important because I think to be free does not mean to have power, to be able to change everything as we should like to change it. But I think the true freedom is a capacity to live in a positive way the situation in which we are. And in any situation, even difficult and painful situation, to discover that there is a possibility for us to grow. There is a path with open, that God opens to be able to grow. But I think to discover how in a difficult situation it is possible to grow, we have to accept this situation. Because if we refuse this situation, if we do not accept it, we cannot be able to find how this situation can be a positive challenge for us. I think we have to receive the life as it is. And when we say yes to life, when we say yes to even to difficulties, to suffering, in this time, God is able to show us how the difficulties can be an opportunity to change, to convert, to grow in a spiritual way. I don't know if I explained me well.
You spoke very well. Oh. This portion of your book, I thought, was very timely here for those of us who live in America, because we like the idea that we control our own destinies.
Yes.
And we spend a lot of time frustrated when decisions are made for us or other people's influences in our lives causes us suffering.
Yes, understand.
So achieving this interior freedom, or the knowledge that we can choose to remain free even in a situation where they're suffering, I feel gives a lot of insight into our human growth.
Yes, it's important.
One of my favorite passages in your book says that our freedom always has this marvelous power to make what is taken from us by life, events, or other people into something that's offered. Can you offer some ideas on how we can live this?
Yes. Well, it is true that we don't have the freedom to change everything, to choose everything, to resolve any problem. But I think we have always a certain freedom to give sense to what we live. And something that we could not choose that can be a thing offered and accepted and offered. For instance, many people can, during time, have sickness, suffering, and accept this suffering as a way to offer themselves to God. But for instance, I knew a man some years ago. He was very sick and a big sufferance, but it was before the GMG, the Youth Day in Paris, and he felt it was before the the International Youth Day in Paris, where the Pope came, and so he felt deeply the call that this sickness, his sufferings, he had to offer them for the young people, for so that many young people can meet Jesus, and so the sickness, he gave it a sense. And I know it's not very easy because of human fragility and so on, but I think we have this possibility, and with humility, with faith, with trusting God, with prayer, we have the possibility that a negative reality of our life can be a chosen reality offered to God and given to God and for the church, for humanity, and so can have a positive meaning. So the situation does not depend on us, but the meaning we give to the situation in which we are, how we live the situation, we have some liberty, some freedom to accept and to offer.
You state that one of the essential conditions to living interior freedom requires us to live in the present. Why do you think this is so important?
I think that when we live in the present, we are in contact with God and also with ourselves and the resources we have in our soul. But when we live in the past, when we live in the future, I think we lose strength and we lose the contact with God, with the grace of God, which is able to support, to help us. And the more we live in the present moment, the more is deep the contact with God and our capacity to receive the presence of God and the help of God. And also, I think when we live the present time, we can find a new strength. But when we do not are in the present time, when we think too much about future, or we think too much to past difficulties or sins, we lose a kind of strength to bear the present reality we have to live.
About those patients that are given the diagnosis of a terminal illness, maybe such as cancer, and how their suffering in their life can be something offered, and how many times those with terminal illnesses show us the best example of people who are living in the present.
That's true. And I think in time of suffering, it's very important to live in the present time, present moment. A little Thérèse of Lisieux, she said that when people is in time of suffering, often people get discouraged and because they think to the past, they think to the future, how long it will last, and this not living in the present time makes more heavy the burden they have to bear. But living one day after one day, one moment after one moment, it's a positive way of living, and it helps you to find strength to live what you are to live.
Why does the degree of interior freedom we possess depend on our growth in the theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity?
Well, I think because the main reason is that the freedom, that the true freedom, is a freedom to love. Without love, our freedom has no meaning. It can be a true freedom. It's good to be free, but what can we do with our freedom? So I think the only way to have our freedom can have a sense and is a freedom of to love. A free man is a man able to love in any circumstance and situation. But on this earth, our freedom, our love needs absolutely to be based upon faith and hope. Because if we do not have hope, if we do not have faith, if we do not trust in God, I think that quickly our capacity to love doesn't work anymore. So the true freedom is freedom to love. But love has a necessity to be based upon faith and trust. I see very often in the life of the people, when somebody is losing trust, is losing faith, hope, quickly he's not more able to love. And so this is the meaning because faith, trust, and love are so important, and it is a condition of a true freedom.
I wanted to move on to your section from law to grace. You make us aware of two areas in our lives to be vigilant regarding evil inclinations. The first is our efforts will never be sufficient on their own, and that only the grace of Christ can win us victory. Secondly, one passion can only be cured by another, a misplaced love for a greater love. Can you offer some concrete examples of this for us?
I think the fact that our efforts are not sufficient, everybody can experiment it. Because if we try to grow, to be faithful to the gospel, to love God with our heart, to love brothers, I think everybody feels his limitation. And as said Paul, sometimes I can do the will, the good I want to do, and the evil I don't want to do, I do it. So I think in the spiritual life, everybody which is committed in the spiritual life and spiritual growing, makes experience of his limitation, of his weakness, of the sin. And so we experiment that with the grace of God, without the healing of the Holy Spirit, without the strength and the conversion that we receive as a grace of Lord, it is difficult for us to live completely according to the gospel. And I think this is a very common experience for everybody. And Jesus says it in the gospel, without my grace, you cannot do nothing. We cannot bear fruit without the grace of the Lord. And for the second point, I think that to grow in love, we need to be healed, to be purified from some attachments we have. Some fears, and for instance, somebody can be attached to material things, to money, because he's afraid of the future. Or somebody can be very attached to the image of oneself, how people can see it, and so on. And I think to be free of this attachment, we have to experiment in a deeper way the love of God. How God is faithful, he is merciful, and how what is important is not what we are for people, but what we are for God. And this means that the more our love for God is growing, the more attachment for secondary things, non-essential things can disappear. Because I think we need so much security, we need so much things, we are attached to so many things, material or affective or moral things, because our experience of the love of God is not deep enough. But the more our love for God is growing, the more we become free, because we can find in Lord, in the love of the Father, the security, the peace, the self-esteem we need, and so on. So the more we are attached to God, the more we are free to other things. And I think the only way to be free from so many things, so many, is grow in the love for the Lord.
Beautifully said, Father. Finally, you close the book with a chapter dedicated to spiritual poverty and freedom. And I feel we could talk for an hour just on how rich this chapter is. Why is spiritual poverty the key to perfect interior freedom?
But I think perhaps to be free, we must have nothing to lose and nothing to defend. I think what is spiritual poverty? It is to have such a trust in God and such a humility, self-acceptance, that we don't feel the necessity to defend ourselves or to protect ourselves, and we do not have the fear to lose anything, because we are sure of the faithfulness and mercy and the love of God. And so this poorness of spirit is a condition for freedom, because as I said, trusting in God, accepting to be poor, we accept to be poor because God is our riches, God is our security, and so on, is for us the fountain of all the needs, all the goods we need in a deep way. And the more we are sure to find in God what is important for us, the more we accept our poorness, and the more we are free, because we do not have to defend nothing, we do not have to fear nothing. Alors, it's not easy to reach this poorness and this freedom, but I think this is the way the gospel invites us to go on, if I can say.
In your book, you write, the identification of the self with the good one is able to do, or one is able to accomplish, leads to spiritual pride. Consciously or not, we consider ourselves the source of that good, instead of recognizing that all the good we're able to do is a free gift from God. How can you help those of us who work for the church and are active in our ministries, in our parishes? What advice can you offer to us so that we don't fall into that trap of spiritual pride?
I think two virtues are very important. The first virtue is virtue of humility. And when you are confronted to your limitations, your poorness, well, accept it peaceful, because you trust in the mercy and faithfulness of God. And a second thing is very important, in my opinion, is gratitude. Everything what is positive in your life, the good you can make, the virtues you can have, it's good, but you have to thank God and to be grateful to God, because He has given you this possibility to work for Him, to make good, to practice some virtue. And I think the humility and gratitude are two things who help very much to have a real poorness of spirit, because you acknowledge that everything is a gift of God, and so you become more free to think it is your own production. This I could say.
Thank you, Father. So I have a question for you. Of all the books that you have written, which one is your favorite and why is it your favorite? So this is your opportunity to promote any of the other things that you've written.
But perhaps the first one, because it is the first one. And also because I think it has touched so many people and it has been very much diffused. And so,
if there's one idea that you would like the readers of your book, Interior Freedom, to walk away with, what would that idea be?
Never be discouraged with anything. For I think the main virtue who make us free is hope, trusting God, and total trust. And Jesus said to Saint Faustine, "Do you know what is the main obstacle, the main impediment for sanctity?" And he told, "It is worry and being discouraged." And this means that hope is the most important things if we want to become a saint and to answer to the call of God. For me, it's the most important virtue is faith and hope and trust in the infinite mercy of God. And also be faithful to prayer, because this experience of the deepness of the love of God and faithfulness of God and mercy of God, we cannot enter in a deep experience of this without a prayer life, personal prayer life. So prayer, hope, trust, this is never get discouraged. For me, this perhaps it's enough to to live the gospel.
What I would like to do is have you impart your blessing on us then.
Well, Lord, I thank you for the good news of your gospel, and I ask you to bless the people who are listening to us and who want to live the gospel. Bless them and give to everyone the peace he needs, the hope he needs, and the light he needs to understand your will and to follow you. And give to everybody your blessing. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You've been listening to Fountains of Grace, Reflections on Contemporary Spiritual Classics with Donna Garrett. Donna has been discussing Interior Freedom by Father Jacques Philippe. To hear and or to download this discussion along with many others, go to discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of discerninghearts.com. Join us next time for Fountains of Grace, Reflections on Contemporary Spiritual Classics with Donna Garrett.